שלום לכם, תודה שאתם מצטרפים אלינו. אנחנו כאן עם חיים חדשים, סדרת השיחות הלימודיות עם הרב דוקטור מיכאל לייטמן. שלום הרב לייטמן.
שלום לכולם.
שלום ניצה מזוז.
שלום.
והנושא שלנו כאן היום הוא הסכסוך הישראלי-פלסטיני. אנחנו מדברים בשיחות האחרונות עם הרב לייטמן על החברה הישראלית, ומנסים ללמוד איך אפשר לקחת את החיים של כולנו ושל כל אחד מאיתנו כפרט למקום טוב, למקום חדש של חיים חדשים. והנושא היום שהגענו אליו, אחרי דיונים בכל מיני היבטים של החיים שלנו כאן בישראל, אפשר לומר בלב גלוי שהוא לצערנו הרב נמצא במוקד החיים שלנו, משפיע על כל ההוויה שלנו כאן בישראל, מקצה לקצה. ניגע בהמון היבטים שלו במהלך הדיון שלנו, אנחנו מזמינים אתכם להצטרף אלינו, ומקווים שנוכל ללמוד מהרב לייטמן גישה חדשה שתשפוך אור חדש על הנושא הזה ועל החיים שלנו כאן בישראל בכלל. ניצה מזוז, בואי תפתחי בבקשה את הדיון שלנו.
ניצה, please open our discussion. The truth, the subject of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, we don't need to say a lot. There's no one in this society that doesn't know what it is and doesn't feel it on himself every single day. There's no question that this conflict actually creates in the heart of Israelis. It's the greatest source of pain throughout all the years. Actually, I think we all believe that if this conflict was resolved and we were living here with good neighbors around us, everything would be wonderful. More people would come here from the world to visit in Israel and things would look different. So we'd like to begin maybe with a question, the first question. What is the essence of this conflict from your perspective? There's many, many ways to analyze this, and we're specifically interested in the way you see things. I see in this conflict reflection of our entire conflict with nature, that we need to rise to a higher root to see where it stems from. The nation of Israel, in my eyes, is a people that gave the world education, culture, religion, how to relate to people, how to relate to the environment, to nature. This was conveyed thousands of years ago through religions and faiths and philosophies, foreign ones, through Greece, the wise ones, our wise neighbors, the Western world. But it actually exists at the foundation of the culture and education of the modern world.
Yom HaShabbat,
the day of the Sabbath, the vacation, equality that the nation of Israel always had throughout its thousands of years of existence, prior to the diaspora where it was independent, where it's here on its land, and also in the times of exile, we were always an example for relations between people. And at the end of the day, we need to see that no matter, even though it's not so accepted in the world that tries to hide these things, what's happening through nature, but I'm talking about what's inside. I divide what's inside nature and what people do above it in their desire to blur things and even to lie, and they build above it some type of form that's convenient for them. Therefore, I think that this issue of this special nation
4,000
שנה. Which is 4,000 years old from the moment we came out of Babylon.
שאברהם לימד אותנו.
That Abraham taught us equality and how to connect and love thy neighbor as thyself. And this is how we went through all these years more or less successfully carrying out this mission. And through this we influenced humanity very much at all levels and in many directions. Therefore, it is known in humanity and philosophy, scientists, people who understand the inner nature of the world, of society, of civilization, they understand this and recognize this. As much as I would talk to those people, I'm familiar with how they feel. The problem is, when we reached the land of Israel, we reached in a state that we left it. We left this method of connection, of how a person relates to his friend, a person to his environment, to society. We built a country not according to principles that we always had, like a light tower that would attract us. We actually there's no one that's at fault here that we can point to, but rather altogether the way things are organized and the situations that accumulated from nature, that there was the English reign and the Turkish reign here, and we came as a melting pot, and the socialists came, and the from Europe and from Russia that built the country. They built it, and they wanted to build it according to the rules that are not Jewish. So today, we're not living in Israel, we can say. Because Israel is a group of people. It can be millions or less than that, but those that desire connection, those that are yearning for the love of Israel, that we are brothers, first and foremost, it doesn't matter whether you have a country or not, we're talking about the society. It has some borders as a country or not. Whether or not it has borders, it's not an issue. That's a marginal issue. But we don't have a society like that. Therefore, we don't understand, and we're not educated so much in that direction. And our history that we learn is we learn history. We don't learn it from the perspective of help and society and relations between people, that first of all, it's the society. It's something that people built to live in there, what atmosphere we live in. So we always used to be concerned with the society being one that takes care of a person, that raises a person to a certain height, that looks after each and every person, men, women, girls, boys, little kids, education, that no one will not know the ABC, that everyone will be married. That was especially a big concern, that everyone would be arranged. There were all kinds of charities throughout our history to help people. There was a lot of support. The wise people would always be at the height of the society. They would be leading society. They would define the opinion of society. Even in the times of the diaspora, there was always a wise person. There was a connection between the wise people. In the Arab countries, also in the Eastern countries, where we were in diaspora, Europe itself. And we would maintain a certain aspect called Israel. It's very special. Today we don't feel it so much. And I, as a person that was born completely disconnected from these things, when I began to take an interest, what it is a Jew and an Israeli, and what is this special phenomenon, and this special hatred toward us that is really specializes that is really characteristic of many people against us. It's a root that they unite around. When I began to research this and understand it, and I spoke to many people, and I learned and I saw that our behavior with ourselves really influences the whole world. And we see that even now the same thing is happening. That apparently the world, whether it wants to or not, it's fed off how we relate to the world. How we relate to one another. And what's the connection, whether it's Venezuela or Brazil or China or Japan? They're so far away. Where are they? Where do they even meet with us? And we see how their leaders and the people also, we feel a very special way they relate to us, attitude toward us. Sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down, sometimes it's closer, sometimes it's further. Relatively good, from relatively good to total hatred. And if we see that there's such a strong connection, the way we behave between ourselves to how the world reacts to it, we see that the world, we can truly see it as a result, truly as a result, a reflection of what happens at the small gathering of people, of a few million people that are even dispersed. If they have a country, then even more so. It is felt and it's highlighted, stands out. We're like a power, a force of nature, that in the way we relate to one another, how we build ourselves, we determine the form of connections between people throughout the world, between countries. And especially in their feeling. Maybe it's not so clear because it's inner streams and inner forces that operate humanity throughout the planet. And maybe it's not clear to the regular person, of course, and even smart and big people, it's not so clear. But you can see how there's a very special phenomenon here. That this small group in the world that is even 0.5% or less is like some point from which responses, commands are come from, operates, that goes out to the world, and whether the world likes it or not, they respond to it. And we can sense this. We hear, we feel, we suddenly see that some great countries, it changes their politics and their relations inside and externally. And precisely this question relating to us, they argue a lot and they put out these big questionnaires in the UN and all these huge panels where they discuss it. And apart from that, even when they don't do that for all kinds of reasons, that they want to blur the issue, you can see how important it is to them, how much it touches them, that they are dependent on this, even if they don't want to be, even if they don't want to talk about it, it's somewhere inside them, is anti-Semitism, burning anti-Semitism, or something that makes them uncomfortable, that they feel that there's some kind of inner disturbance, that everywhere where there's even one Jew, the way they relate to him, the connection, it's as if he has something that's not like others. So we have to research this phenomenon, this from nature. There's different philosophies that say the nation of Israel, we came from some other planet, that we're a completely different type of, we developed from monkeys, all kinds of attitudes that show that the world does not accept us as regular human beings. And throughout history, we want to say to them, we're the same, we're the same species. We are capable of, we want to be part of all of society, and it's not working. It's not working from our side, it's not working from their side. Nature has some kind of inner plan that will always remain inside humanity as some very special part, for better or for worse, it doesn't matter, but special. To such an extent that around it, there's always something going around this issue. And even more so, we see that they even say out loud, Israel is the source of all bad in the world, that Jews turn the world around. And there's something in it until today, because we truly, in Hollywood, we can see in Wall Street, in every place, in science, Nobel Prizes, and everything, for better or for worse, we're special. And there's facts that can't be denied. And it would be for our good to blur it, but this is how it worked out. Even though we don't want it, but it worked out like that. And we see some upper force in this, I don't know how to put it, that's arranging us always between the most elite, the smartest, wealthiest, and even though this is always playing against us, we still, no matter what happens, we find ourselves on top. And not only in good things, also in bad things. So we need to recognize this phenomenon from nature, and that in Israel it's a special thing, and we have to agree with it and not say, no, we're like everyone. And if we have a country, like our forefathers thought, if we're like everyone, Ben-Gurion was happy that they found some prostitute in Tel Aviv. He said, great, we're like all the other nations, and we have thieves and everything. No, not for good and not for bad. We're not like everyone else. These are the external symbols that don't say anything. Even though we were very attracted to being like everyone, and truly that's what they thought when they founded the company, Europe's and Americans and Russians supported it. And each one wanted to define a special connection with Israel. This attitude has remained, and it stands out, and it's increasing. It's interesting, because if we used to think it has to do with religion, today the world is getting away from religion. Everyone's making up apart from the original religions, they're making up these new religions that are an additional, a cultural addition to life. We see it with our neighbors. There's all kinds of streams and directions, but the attitude remains. And even groups that have nothing to do with religion, the more they develop, it's interesting. And we didn't think this would happen. The more they develop, the way they relate to Israel is more negative. Suddenly, they find that the fact that Israel is a special people, it's a special place, special phenomenon, it's being revealed in the world more and more. And it's countries that have nothing to do with us. I'm not talking about Islam or Christian countries. I'm talking about China, Japan, or countries that have nothing to do with religion. So there's still a very strange phenomenon here. It's clear to everyone. There's a lot of research about it. And to say that we, all this research brought us to some clear opinion, no. And if we can still rely on something and continue in some direction to choose a certain type of behavior between us in how we build the society and the country, our relations with our neighbors, with the world, we need to see that if we do something and these waves go throughout the world, then how do we need to look? How do we need to exist? In what form? What kind of inner philosophy? So that the waves that come out of us will fill humanity's hope, that they'll feel that from us comes a positive force and not a negative force. Because the fact that it's happening, it's for sure. Whatever we do, it's going to spread throughout the world in waves from the center, that's for sure. What do the nations want to receive from us? It happens like feedback. It's like we have no philosophy. We have nothing in life. We can just disappear off the face of the earth. We can disperse throughout the world. In that we don't solve anything. The Jews, everywhere they are, they become the focus. The good focus, the bad focus, it all spreads out from them. It's always like that. Especially toward Israel, the fact that the nations of the world are, they're building like one block out of us. The Zion wisdom, that we have a special plan, where we're special, that we have a secret, that we have some secret plan toward the world, toward the countries. They're always looking at us as something very consolidated and standing out and receiving all this feedback from the world and controlling the world in that manner. I think that if we understood this attitude, and first of all we were aware of it, that it's a clear phenomenon. What do the nations of the world, what do our neighbors, what do they want from us? What can we give them? We gave the world wisdom, science, religions. We can give the world all the riches we have. It won't change. The world needs some type of example, a very special example. And according to that example, it will be able to also arrange itself and feel happy. Until we bring the world this example or this influence, let's say, they will always come and blame us, even if they receive from us, from this point of influence, money, wisdom, whatever they want. What do they especially want from us? That if they don't receive that, nothing is worth it. This we need to research. And then it will be clear to us what we need to do. To research it, we need to go into the internalness of nature, because nobody knows. The nations of the world don't know. They know instinctively to blame us, because this is how they feel, and they feel it in a natural manner, that you are causing bad. It's very simple. All the countries turn to a Jewish person, or what they call you guys, the nation of Israel, even though there isn't really a nation, and there's no such term. I remember when I was in Russia, I was with other friends and acquaintances, and there weren't really Jews there. And it was still you people, you. We feel bad because you are doing such and such, and what we apparently are doing, we're causing them bad all the time. We need to understand that all our activity, what we do, what we've done until now, we have truly caused bad to the whole world. We'll accept their perspective, their starting point. Jews cause us bad. And it doesn't matter how we behave. This is rooted in nature. So now the question is there in me the ability, a special situation, where I can in some manner exist, even though I'm not touching them? It doesn't matter, because it's spreading out beneath the surface. This is how it is in nature, our inner connection to all nations. How do we have to think? Maybe it's in thought, maybe it's in the behavior between us, that even if we're closed off in our own borders without any connection to the world, how do we need to build between us some connection, that this connection will reach them with a positive feeling and positive response? In other words, what do? We're not going to go treat the conflict with our neighbors or all kinds of distant countries or all kinds of civilizations. No. We're working at the level, at the natural level. Therefore, we're leaving politics, economics, these times or those times. This phenomenon is eternal. And our generation is really facing this eternal question. What do we need to do? So therefore, there's no conflict between us and the neighbors. There's a conflict between ourselves and ourselves. Everything else is operating automatically with the law of nature that we don't control. On the one hand, it's maybe good because everything's in our hand, the ball is in our hand. And if we arrange everything, the relations between us, the connection between us, that we just, so we'll just get the correct response, then it'll all work out. And here we need to turn to nature and see if we are so special from all civilizations and other nations and groups, all the tribes that there were throughout time and that will still exist. What does nature want from us? And here we truly see that we're in a special time, that we have the ability to build our society of Jews in the way we want to. No one's disturbing us with that, apart from us ourselves. And nature is giving us today an example, and we knew about it before, from our wisdom, from our Torah, that we need to be in mutual love, in connection, in consideration of others as brothers. Love thy neighbor as thyself, we have to carry out. That's the method that was passed down throughout the generations. Don't do unto another as you wouldn't do to yourself. And you help the neighbor. There's many, many phrases from our philosophy, from the nation that was collected over the years, and in accordance with that, we tried to exist. And we always respected it, more or less. But today we see that we have the ability to begin realizing it. And it will be in accordance with what nature requires from all of humanity, that it will actually be, that it's actually the reason behind all the crisis and all the bad that everyone's feeling. If we begin in existing in such a manner between us, we don't know how or what. If we would build society in which everyone is connected together in a mutual manner, where everyone's looking after others, where it's very not clear how to achieve this, and we're not less or more egoistic than others. But if we would do this, we would definitely influence all these connections we have with others, the same positive influence. And they would get a different impression of us from our being separated, hating each other, being in a situation where we can't stand one another. We are truly destroying ourselves. Our society is destroyed. Kids are leaving home. No one respects the other. Divorce, drugs, prostitution, everything. We are not an example for humanity. We're not the source, a positive source that is similar to nature. Therefore, it's no wonder that everyone is pointing at us like this, and we've been in this for thousands of years in this situation, but we've never had the ability to do otherwise because we were under foreign rule. And precisely under those rules, the Jews would actually help each other because we were facing this common enemy. Now we are facing this more external enemy, so it doesn't really bother us if we're strong. So it's even worse. We can apparently disregard these enemies, our neighbors, and inside between us also to argue and be in conflict, etc. Our inner force to deal with an external enemy is working against us because this gives our ego the ability to be in conflict with one each other. Can you repeat it again? Can you expand it? The stronger we are, like in our army, and we can feel ourselves safer from the external threat, this allows us to be more free on the inside and allows our ego to go crazy and disregard others and do what we feel like to others. But if we felt ourselves like we used to feel in the kibbutzes, that there's a fortress around us, people have to connect like sheep who connect if there's a wolf around them, then we had a natural inclination to connect. And like this, we don't. There's nothing to be proud of that we're strong if our mission from the side of nature is requiring us to be connected, anti-Semitism, the security around us. We need to grasp how we solve the problem despite us having this military power. We shouldn't be proud of it. We should see it as an opportunity that despite the fact that we have some kind of security, we need to, in the meantime, in this time, build ourselves here in the correct manner. And if we don't, then we'll suddenly discover that our neighbors, they have missiles, and they can cover every part of our land here with missiles. So if we don't attempt in the time that we have to connect and start influencing the world in these natural manners, these internal things that are in nature, this influence, positive influence to the whole world, then surely we will feel that this negative attitude toward us is increasing from politicians, that less and less help will get here, and that our neighbors will be more armed or smarter and will bond around, bond about us. You say that the Israeli society is divided and coming apart and weak. And it's no secret, this is our society, and this is what we truly want to correct with the help of what you're teaching us. If we analyze it, the causes for the division, then the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, apart from the aspects of it being with our neighbors, it is actually the main factor, if not the first, I think it's the first in its power that divides the Israeli society. That's what's unbelievable, because it's something that should have united us. Exactly. There's places in Israeli society, there's regions in society, where the saying somebody's a leftist is a bad thing, and saying someone is right is like a curse. There's families that have inner conflicts because the parents believe this and the children believe this. And if we would map out this discussion happening in the living room, in the coffee shop, doesn't matter where in Israeli society, we would see that this conversation of right, left, when looking at the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, it's the main issue, and this divides us, and this has been developing for the last few dozen years. And the question is, how do you truly see this thing as something that divides us? Because after all, we reached something that I don't think it was possible to imagine in the past, that an Israeli prime minister would be murdered by a Jew, his brother, because of a conflict about how we relate to the Palestinians. We had examples when the country was founded. That's a bit far from us. I'm talking about now the current experience, and I think that what happened when Rabin was killed, it put up a mirror in front of the Israeli society that where we reached the level of hatred and division between us. So I'd like if you could relate to this matter, how the conflict between us and our neighbors is dividing us. What do you think about this? I said that I don't divide the conflict between us and the conflict with the whole world. It's the same phenomenon. I don't get it. The conflict, the inner conflict in us between the Jews and the conflict between Israel and the whole world, it's one and the same conflict. Because if we didn't have an inner conflict, we wouldn't have a conflict with the whole world. This external conflict, what conflict between us? What's the basis for it? It doesn't matter what the basis is. It really doesn't matter. That you're dark and I'm white, it doesn't matter. That she's a feminist and I'm a... It doesn't matter how it's expressed. It's completely not important. We have between us a lack of connection above all the gaps. We know each other well. Look what's happening. It's our ego that is, that we can, above this ego, we can rise above it and begin to connect. We have this special uniqueness in us. We have an inner attribute in our foundation that we can connect above all the gaps, not taking into account gender, race, mentality, or anything else, as if there's no bodies, as if there's nothing from this world, politics, education, nothing. Only a soul. Something that's the inner desire. Let's connect above everything, and then you'll cause the world, exactly like you caused the world, all the negative phenomena, bring the world a positive phenomena and for once in history, and you'll see what everyone is expecting from you, what the whole world is anticipating to receive from you. What are they saying, the whole world? The Jews are guilty, for they're responsible for everything that's happening. They're responsible for all the bad in the world. We're bad in this, it's the Jews that are guilty. That's bad, it's the Jews guilty of that. They're pointing it out to you, and what do you do with that? There's nothing to do. That's exactly the point of the conflict. What are you doing with what the world says to you? That's exactly our subject today. I need to say to the world, you're correct. Help us. Help us. Make this inner order. The fact that you come here and beat us up and murder us, we're not solving the problem. We're also not solving the problem. We need to be so in pressure, under pressure, from the positive force and the negative force. Ideally, it will be positive, but positive is through the recognition, awareness, understanding. That we'll understand that we have no choice. We must rise up to connection above all the gaps. There's a leap in the explanation that I don't understand. You gave an example from the white of the world that has any complaints, because they're pointing at you that you're guilty of everything. Let's be more concrete. If I look at this discussion at the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, we can divide it into three things. First of all, between us and the Palestinians. Two, the influence of the conflict on the division of the Israeli society, right, left, right, extreme, left, extreme, and many streams in between. And we can't even follow all the different streams. And the third level is how the world relates to Israel. At all these levels, the focus is something that in a logical manner and even not logical, even if we look at the past, they say, look at the past, you'll see where it's heading. There is something that is insolvable. There's something that's not from right, not from left, not from behind, not from ahead. We have no idea what to do with it. Us, our neighbors, we don't understand. The world doesn't understand. And this thing is growing and making us more divided and more weak. And Israel, with all due respect, this is the saddest part for us. Therefore, our neighbors have a solution. It appears to them that they have a solution to get rid of the Israelis. Let them get out of here. The whole world has a solution. The Jews will get off the planet altogether. There's no other solution. There's no other solution. It's very simple. But rather, I'm saying to you that apart from this solution that I would like to carry out, you have no other solution except connect our correct behavior that is operating the entire world definitely also toward connection. And then you're causing the whole world to be connected in a good, friendly way. Everyone will calm down and everyone will suddenly feel themselves comfortable and happy. And they will also definitely feel that it comes from Israel, from the Jews. There is no other solution. And the entire world is really pointing at you. And what are they saying? You are causing all the bad, so cause them good. You have no other solution. Not here between us and the neighbors, not between us and the whole world, not with the entire world. Imagine to yourself, say, let's say you don't care. You have such power in the world that you don't care what they say. Let them say what they want. But from the perspective of your conscious, how the world relates to you still, that you don't want to leave it like that. Let's say, like our neighbors, but I'm asking, even if it's not important to you, even if you feel some type of security and it doesn't touch you, the world is suffering. The world is in a crisis. The world is going through terrible states. If you ask me, I have a feeling that everywhere I go in the world, that I see those in South America, or I see in Japan or Russia, in Europe, in South Europe, and also I see, even when I see news from around the world, I see how we relate badly to one another, how it's causing all the bad in the world. The bad relations between us and Israel. And my conscience, my heart is not calm. Why do I need to be this bad factor? I'm not talking about how to arrange our conflict, how we can have more security, etc. It's a pity to think about security. It won't happen. It's a pity to think about peace. It won't happen. It's a pity to think that the Americans will treat us differently or won't descend, or there won't be a descent in how Europe relates to Israel. As much time goes by and you don't correct this warped thing that you need to correct, that is the only thing you need to correct, which is causing all the bad in the world, it is causing the general crisis. Until you correct it, nothing will change. But the more you pull it, it'll cause more and more problems. Every day that passes and you don't head toward correction, you're bringing on destruction. And when I look at the world, I'm ashamed. I personally, I'm ashamed. What am I causing in the world? I have a feeling like that. Also, according to the research with the Europeans, they took a survey, the EU, and they said Israel is the source of danger for the whole world, and 74% of the Dutch people, they say Israel endangers the whole world, and it's against all logic. this means that they're anticipating from us, if I look at the opposite way, if you say what they're anticipating from us, they're anticipating for us to bring peace. Perfection, not even peace, but perfection. They're talking about war, peace, and I'm saying not only that, but perfection. Perfection is that person feels good, fulfilled, whole, that he's with the whole world and himself and has all his questions and life and death and all the things. He's in a situation where he's full, he's complete, he's in harmony. He's in serenity. That's what he's anticipating. And his complaint toward us, his issue is natural. It looks like it's not natural. It's enough to look at it like this. Well, why isn't it natural? If it's throughout history, but it's rather one of the laws of nature. There's a mental block here that we have to get through as a society, because naturally we're inclined to look outward and say the conflict is causing the division between us. And you're actually saying the division between us is causing the conflict and other issues, all the issues in the world. So it's actually an opposite act that the brain can't even grasp. It looks as if there wasn't a conflict, everything would be fine. If right now some little disaster happened, or just some little problem, which person in the world, I don't know, some Indian guy in South America, something, I don't know, he breaks his leg, something happens to him. It happens as a result of us not being connected, not being united. That's how it is. It's a network of forces that's acting on the whole, and all the lack of perfection is caused by us. And at the end of the day, this is how it's felt in each person, and the more humanity develops, they have more and more of this inner feeling. Where does it come from? It comes from nature. Just like I want to eat, that's how I feel. It's a natural feeling, a very natural feeling, that I usually feel what I want. I want to eat, to drink, to put things in, to take things out, to sleep. I want to be with my family, all kinds of pleasures. And I have something else, that if something negative happens to me, at the end of the day, I connect it to some group of people throughout humanity. That altogether, it's a few million, maybe 0.5% of all of humanity. They're dispersed all over the world. No one can point at them. Now at least there's Israel. So you can point to them. Who? They're the people that are responsible for all our issues. It's so strong that there's no way to even refute it. There isn't. Throughout history, all humans, there's a global phenomenon. So the fact that we want to run away from it and make it more blurry is causing us bad. How can we go against the laws of nature? If I see people doing it throughout history, if I see it being done throughout civilization, in all the nations, with regard to each and everything, isn't it enough? I need to make some kind of summary. If I understand that what you're saying is the stupidest thing to do is to ignore that the fact that the world is dependent on us. And you're saying, let's not disregard what the world is saying to us and what it's blaming us for. We can ignore it, but it won't help us. Take it into account that this is how they feel, and that's it. And from that point, advance. Anti-Semites used to write very truthful things. Look at the Nazis and Ford and all those. They used to write, if the Jews would connect. Look what they wrote. The anti-Semite philosophers, they said if Jews would connect, they would carry out their mission in the world. They would stop causing the whole world bad. The whole world would get along from their dependence on us. That's how they would feel. They would say, we're prepared to help you with everything. The Nazis paid a lot of money to Jews to be able to move to Palestine before World War II. Let them come here and build themselves a country. All those ideologists. Then even afterwards, we change direction because there's no choice. We can't arrange them to be unique here. They used to open in Germany schools and stuff. For economics, agriculture, they would help everyone with money, anyone that goes anywhere. They would want from square one to arrange here a settlement that deals with connecting. And if they don't agree with it, we'll start to take them out. They started to throw them out of Germany. And if not, to burn them. Look what it says that Henry Ford says. He says that if Jews would connect between them, they would solve all the world's problems. This is causing all the hatred in the world. Well, and this would bring peace and prosperity to the world. There's books that they wrote about this. And you would see that they reached this from sadness, but they reached this from feeling that I read it and I identify with them. But at the end of the day, who's a person? A person is a phenomenon of nature that feels like this and expresses himself like this. And what he sees throughout history, and as a researcher, he's saying correctly, for these Jews, it's anti-Semite. These Jews that connected, they're connected totally. This is what is written. This is what the world requires. Imagine if you were dependent on a person that is creating bad or good for you. And he is defining your entire destiny for you from here. How would you look at him? And in the meantime, you feel bad, and there's another crisis coming. And they're firing you from work, and all kinds of problems. There's some kind of disease. Came along, Jews. You're laughing, but it's not a joke. Because they feel it in an internal manner. And not just for nothing. They jump up in the United Nations, even in a place where you're not allowed to talk, etc. People jump up. They're smart people. They feel it from themselves. We need to recognize this phenomenon that it's the law of nature. And until we begin to relate to things like this, the change for the best will not come. Our time is running out for today. We will continue talking about this subject. I'd still like to get a conclusion for this talk. We started with the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. Can you summarize? What would you like us to get out of this talk? If we heal the division, inner division between us, we will heal in that all the diseases and bad things in the world, and just the opposite. We will turn the world around to good. No other nation in the world has the ability to change the world, to shift the world to good or to bad. Only we have this ability. It's very strange. It's very unusual that only we have it, but we need to recognize it based on all the facts and what we see in the world. And if not, God forbid, more billions will come and teach this to you.
קודם כל, להכיר בזה.
First of all, we need to recognize it. אנחנו נמצאים בנקודת המוקד. That we're at the focal point. We're causing good or bad to the whole world. We are shifting the world to good or bad. It's us. To merit.
בזאת הזמן שלנו הסתיים. יש הרבה על מה לחשוב.
This our show is over today. There's a lot to think about. Thank you, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nitzan Mazuz. Thank you for being with us. Until next time, all the best and so long.